Recorded live on DementiaRadio.org, it's the Funny Music Podcast, brought to you by TheFump.com, where you can download new free comedy songs twice a week. Now, here's your hosts, Devo Spice and the great Luke Ski.
Hey, Devo Spice.
Hey, Luke Ski.
We have the almighty Spaff.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, I think that has to be your name from now on, the almighty Spaff.
Hey, I'll take that as a prefix. Please. I insist upon it from now on.
So we have the great Luke Ski, the almighty Spaff, and the somewhat mediocre Devo Spice. Let's go with that.
What's the somewhat bullshit?
You're not somewhat. You're entirely mediocre.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
No, you can have the almighty title. That's a lot to live up to.
So, we also have a pre-recorded interview with Insane Ian, since he couldn't be there here this evening. So we'll get to that shortly. But first, Devo, how has your week been?
It's been busy, mostly with packing and moving and stuff, you know, because we sold our house. And now my life is like, I get up, I go to work, I come home, I pack, and I make trips to the storage unit, go to bed, repeat, you know. And so that's what my life is going to be like until the middle of July when we close around the house. This evening we started looking at new houses. We looked at three of them today. We're going to look at three more tomorrow. And two of the three we looked at today we like, but they each have their own issues that we're going to have to deal with if we pick either one of those. So the only other issue with this whole packing and moving thing is that I had to delay the spring issue of the Devo Spice newsletter for my subscribers, which I feel really bad about, but there's really nothing I can do because I have almost nothing written for it. And at this point, spring is over. So I might as well just punt and work on it like for August. And I promised everyone I'd send them like a double issue in August. And I'll have more stuff to write about in August because we'll have Nerdapalooza and Worldcon and stuff. So
wait, so you've sold your house, but you haven't bought one to move into yet?
No, we sold our house. We closed on July 14th or 15th, whatever the Friday is that weekend. And we just started looking at houses because last year we sold our house and then it fell through like 3 days before closing. So we wanted to make sure this one was actually going to happen before we started looking at other houses. So it looks like this one's actually going to happen this time, which is good.
That's good, but don't you run the risk of being homeless for a while?
We do, especially one of the houses we looked at today is a short sale, which means it'll take like 6 to 9 months to get everything, you know, in order. We're going to have to rent in the meantime. So we're going to be looking for a rental place, most likely.
Move in with Shoebox.
Yeah, we'll just move in with Shoebox. I'm sure he won't mind. The other house is not a short sale. So if we go with that one, we can probably close probably in late July. So we'd only be homeless for like a week and we could like stay with relatives during that time or get a hotel room or something. So I mean, we're not too worried about that.
Cool. Well, good luck.
Thanks. So what have you been up to, Luke?
Well, I did that Lethal Poetry Words That Kill Return of the Geek show thing, which was I forgot how they billed it, some kind of a poetry and stand-up comedy omni-slam is how they described it or something like that. And it was an interesting experience. The one aspect of it that I found kind of odd was that when people got up to do either stand-up comedy or poetry, the room was pretty much, you know, silent. Everyone was really respectful and, like, you know, paying attention to everything that was being done on stage. And then the former Fat Boys got up and they did a few tracks, and then I got up and did my tracks as the big headliner closer. And once I was on stage doing my comedy music, the ambient level of muffled conversation in the room just went up and up and up. I basically did three pieces. I did Sting Like a Hobbit, Snoopy the Dog, and Grease Wars. And I was in the middle of Grease Wars, and I'm like, all I can hear is everybody else talking. And it's just that whole, it's like performing, you know, you've dealt with this, you're performing at clubs, and because you're doing music, people just feel like they don't have to pay attention to you. So yeah, they'll just talk or do whatever. And I'm just like, you know, you were quiet for everyone else. Now I'm the headliner, you're all fucking having conversations, you know. So, but that's just me being, you know, a negative Nelly. There were many people in the crowd who totally dug my show and were paying attention and really liked it, and I got a lot of compliments after the show. So So I wouldn't mind doing stuff with them again. Hopefully not on the Thursday night, but you know, they were very cool people, and they did. There were some great funny stuff and interesting art pieces there. I felt like I was in college again. Jared Perez came out to the show, and in the middle of one of some guy was like wearing a bandana and he had a beard and he was doing something that sounded like you know an episode of The Tudors on HBO. So he was like this. He was like, you know. Yes, and then the man went down, and you with your knife and swat. And he was just, you know, yelling like that at the top of his lungs. And I just leaned over to Jared Perez and says, "Welcome to my college experience." That's what happens when you go to art college. So anyway, and then DuckCon happened. DuckCon was fun. Did a couple performances, hung out in the Filk Room, and everyone there was nice. Got to see the guys from Toy Boat, of course, and good old time. And
Oh, I didn't realize they were going to be there.
Well, yeah, because they were pretty much running the sound in the Filk Room. So,
oh, cool.
I don't think they did not do an official Toy Boat concert, but at least three members of Toy Boat were there. Eric Coleman was there, Gundo, and I'm spacing out now. But yeah,
Mike.
I think so. So anyway, and then there were a lot of storms here in Chicago, and a lot of branches and trees fell over and stuff. And then, you know, there was a new Weird Al album. But anyway, we should probably get the show rolling and move on to Ian's interview, because that's about 20 minutes.
Yeah, now we're going to make Spaff sit here and listen to Ian's interview.
I can't wait. A phoned-in interview for me, and I'm looking forward to it.
So you can, like, you know, put yourself on mute and then, like, you know, go make a sandwich or something and come back, and yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take a little nap. No, I will be paying very close attention to this, actually.
All righty. So it'll be Ian's interview, then the song, then the trailer thing. I'll have to pop on the mic and give the proper plug for that, because it's a movie trailer, so it doesn't have anything that actually comes on and says, "This is for a movie. Here's the website." It's just, you know, all music and shit. So anyway, it's about altogether 25 minutes from now. So anyway. Here it is, Insane Ian interview, as we travel to the past. Time warp. Hey, yay. We've got Insane Ian.
Hi, wackiness.
All right, Ian, welcome to the past.
Yay, the Wayback Machine is totally working.
It's suddenly yesterday.
This is the good old days.
It is, what? Really.
Yeah, because it actually happened on a Wednesday.
Yes. Back when Weird Al used to release albums on CD, remember that?
I do remember that, like it was yesterday.
So, you are hardcore.
I am hardcore, with a P and an S.
So, does that mean you're actually Ryan Reynolds?
I wish. Oh, to have those chiseled good looks. I do have a really nifty die-cast power ring that I got from Toys R Us, though.
I saw that. Look nice.
It's pretty nice, except that it's ill-fitting. It's kind of large. So if I were to do a power move, like, you know, punching something, it would fly off and hit small children in the face or something. I don't know.
It's kind of strange to make a toy for young kids and make it a huge ring. Are they going to wear it as a bracelet or something?
Well, the thing is, it's a Toys R Us exclusive, oddly. The die-cast version is. And it's actually a keychain. It comes with a little It comes with a little keychain loop on it, but you can, like, you know, take the little keychain loop off of it. It's just that little. It's like, you know those pens at the bank that have those breakaway chains on them.
Yeah,
it's one of those. So it's
so
like
what you're saying is you stole it from a bank.
Yes. Everything. Yes.
Yeah. So tell us about the song.
Okay. So the song is it exists. No. I knew the Green Lantern movie was coming out, as did, you know, America. And I wanted to have a song that tied into that. And I wanted to sort of do another hip-hoppy type song, because I have this EP coming out eventually called Songs for Superheroes. And I was like, yes, this is a superhero and this is a song. These are two things that exist. So I put them together. And I made this song. Unfortunately, after recording the music for this song, something happened, which I don't know if I'm actually allowed to say what happened, but an incident occurred at the studio where I record. the day after we did the music for the track, and we hadn't done any of the vocals yet. So I only had just the low-quality version of the MP3 and had to record to that. And recording on my rig at home is a different program and a different computer and everything, so sometimes there's latency issues. And so the timing on certain things got messed up a little bit. I think I ironed most of them out, but it definitely was a trying process trying to get the song actually finished.
Yeah, I remember there was some question there as to whether or not you were actually going to make the slot or not, or we were going to have to, you know, ask Tom Smith to pull something out of his ass.
Yeah, I really, because I had asked you, like, I think it was like 2 or 3 months in advance, because I knew, you know, the movie was coming out on a Friday, like movies do.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I have this idea for this song that I really want to throw up there and you know, have for this. And then, of course, things happened, which kind of...
And throw it up you did.
Hey, thank you, Bazinga. No. That's but no, I wanted to have this song, and then things kind of slowed down the process in which my normal recording goes. So
did you see the movie?
I did.
What'd you think?
I actually enjoyed it.
I think you're the first.
No, I know a couple people who really liked it. It's not a great movie by any stretch of the imagination, but it's also no Ghost Rider. So there's that.
I went to see the film with Carrie and Josh, and I was, you know, I thought it was all right. I was entertained by it. Josh seemed to feel the same way. Carrie hated it.
Abject hatred. It's amazing. Really? It's palpable. Like, it's been on, she's been talking about it online.
Yeah.
It's like vicious and vindictive, and it intrigues me in a manner I can't express verbally.
Well, I think it was mainly aimed at Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. Which also is curious.
So, I don't know. I thought there were some particularly funny moments in the movie. And I don't know. I guess I shouldn't say what they are, because I don't want to spoil it in case people still want to see it. But it's got a few LOL moments in it for sure, I'd say.
I think it's a funny flick. I think Topless Robot was talking about it.
Yeah, I read
online
that. That
about
was
how much they hated the movie and the reasons why. And after reading it, I can go, yeah, that was kind of dumb. Oh, yeah, I didn't even really notice how stupid that was. But at the same time, I didn't realize how stupid that was, because I've gotten to the point where I've been a comic book nerd for ever, and I've gotten to a point where I look at these movies and go, I know they're going to change continuity. I know they're going to change something in the movie because it's a different medium. So my brain goes, this is the movie universe. There's going to be something different. I'm not going to bitch about that. So I kind of take part of my nerd brain and put it at home and leave it there when I go see these movies. And you know, some of the things they changed obviously make some sense, and some things, looking back, don't make a whole lot of sense. But at the same time, it's an origin movie. It's about as good an origin movie as the first Fantastic Four movie was. It's not great, but it's definitely not, you know, anything that's going to make you want to stab your eyes out. I admit to having a slight man crush on Ryan Reynolds.
Ah, now I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I had to put some kind of Luke Ski style puns in the second verse of this song, at the end of the second verse, which reference a bunch of other work that he's done in comic book movies. This is his third comic book movie, so.
Luke is kind of the master of throwing in obscure references to other things people have done that he's singing about.
And disguising them as actual words.
Yeah.
Well, many things are actual words.
This is true. Words are actual words. I'm Captain Obvious. That's my superpower.
All songs require words.
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
Shut up, Ian.
Yeah, it was the other part I was waiting for. Disappointment, achievement unlocked.
I think we know what the name of your next album is.
Well, that wasn't the idea, but it is now.
Actually, no, that's the name of your greatest hits album is Shut Up Ian and St. Ian's Greatest Hits, you know, volume one.
It's a blank CD.
So I rented the animated Green Lantern Emerald Knights that has Nathan Fillion doing the voice of Hal Jordan and Henry Rollins doing the voice of Kilowog, and that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. I haven't seen that yet. I've been wanting to, but I'm broke, and I keep forgetting about Redbox because I'm a moron. It's been on, like, you know, Xbox on their Zoom network, but that's, you know, the same thing as, like, renting a movie from, like, you know, places that used to rent movies that don't exist anymore, like Blockbuster.
There's a chain out here called Family Video, and there actually still is one, so I actually drove out there to physically rent a DVD because I'm an old fogey like that.
That's old school. I would have done the same thing, but I would have driven out to my Royal Farm store down the street from my house and gone to the Redbox and paid a dollar and done the same thing. But Redbox is renting video games now, by the way. Side story. Hey, Ian is excited.
Word. That's a neat idea.
It's
I've been contemplating signing up for what's that Netflix like service
Game
for
Fly.
Games? Gamefly. I've been contemplating doing that, but maybe after we move.
I was contemplating doing that too because I have Netflix, but I only have we get the DVDs, and I have Netflix going through my Xbox, and really we only use Netflix going through the Xbox.
Yeah, we're the same way. We have the DVD, and we have Netflix going through the Wii, and we have a Roku box, and so that's we pretty much just use the streaming.
They sent me Book of Eli like 5 months ago, and it's still sitting in the goddamn mailer.
Yep.
So
I mean, taking that disc and putting it physically into the DVD player, there's just something wrong with doing that now that I just can't bring myself to do it anymore.
That's all technology's purpose is to make us more and more lazy.
And it bugs me that it's the studios that are holding back the streaming because they're you know, grasping onto DVD as a physical medium that they're trying to sell. And it's like, what difference does it make? Because I'm watching it on the same television. I'm watching the same movie on the same television, whether it comes in over Netflix streaming or whether I have to stick a DVD in the player. The experience is the same for me watching the movie. They should just allow everything to stream.
They should.
That's me nuts.
But then there are morons like me who like to buy movies because of all the extra shit they put on the discs.
And that's fine. You know, they should still have the, you know, the Netflix with the DVD and still sell DVDs because there are DVDs that I want to buy because I like the movies that much.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, most of the stuff that I want to watch and want to see, I will want to watch and want to see once and probably never watch it again. So I'm never going to buy the DVD. So just let me stream it.
Exactly. You make a valid point, sir.
So, Ian, give us the quick roundup on the status of your three forthcoming albums.
Of my three forthcoming albums. All right. Well, the one that's supposed to be out first, which is called Wizard, which is my Harry Potter Weezer mishmash mosh mahimahan, because that's a word, is probably going to be delayed. It was supposed to come out on the day of the new Harry Potter movie. Because of the incident at the studio, it is slightly delayed. Only slightly. Maybe, with any luck, only by 2 or 3 weeks. That said, the first song, the second song, technically, from that EP will still premiere the day of the Harry Potter movie. That'll be the next fump from mine. But the whole EP itself is delayed a bit. So I won't have it at Nerdapalooza, unfortunately. I will have, like, a sampler EP for there because, like, you know, it's like a song from each of my albums released and forthcoming just so I can have that as something for people who go to Nerdapalooza. It's nothing new material, so people who are like, oh, I have to buy Ian stuff, like my mom, you won't have to get this. Grand Theft Audio is still in the works. The CD, because of the incident of the studio, is almost done. One or two more tracks, which will be hitting the thump, and a couple of stuff that has not hit anything and will ever hit anything except being on the CD because they're rare and old and stuff. And if you pre-order it from the website, you get like a bonus disc of my old crap. And Songs for Superheroes is...
There's an incentive.
Yes. No, it's because people, for some reason, were asking me, hey, this doesn't have such and such song that you did with such and such band when nobody knew you. And I went, there's good reason for that. Luke actually has them and reminded me about this disc that I gave him when I first met him. And I went, I can make that the pre-order disc. So that's what I'm doing.
House of the Freak Hoes.
So, what was that?
House of the Freak Hoes.
Yeah, putting capacity in the hizzy. All right.
I love that song.
Thank you. anyway, and then Song for Superheroes will be eventually at the end of the year. I don't have a date on that because that's still in the works and stuff. But yeah, that's things. I actually posted a sneak preview of the Dig Dug music video today on YouTube for people who didn't see it on the Kickstarter page. That video is still being shot and edited and all sorts of good stuff, and many other videos are being shot and edited. One of the people, Jeff Rubin from Fump Sideshow and Am I Right and all that stuff, he is actually going to be in one of the music videos. He was one of the pledgers for the Kickstarter page, and he chose to do a music video for Superpowers. So he's going to be in the music video for Superpowers. As a superhero in a garish costume.
Nice.
Awesome.
And since we spoke last, Luke, I did see Green Hornet since the last Fumpcast I was on. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife rented it and watched it. I enjoyed it. It wasn't great. My wife hated it. She said it really wanted to be Kick-Ass when it grew up. I can kind of see. It's kind of the similar plot. But I thought Green Hornet was funny. There was a lot of car explosions in that movie.
Yeah, I think they did an episode of Mythbusters like as a tie-in to that film where basically...
They did.
Yeah. They were showing how, you know, you couldn't exactly none of that. Basically, they busted most of the...
They basically busted the movie. Nothing in this movie is possible. We have proof. there's so many car explosions in that movie, though, it's a little on the ridiculous side. I like ridiculous movies. I think ridiculous movies are fun because they're ridiculous. Shoot 'em Up and Crank are like two of my favorite movies because they're so extremely not plausible. But the car explosions in this movie make the Blues Brothers look at that and go, hey guys, tone it down.
There's a car explosion in some trauma film. I forget which one started it, but it came out so good that they used it in like three other films.
I remember seeing that clip.
It's gotten to the point where the last time they used it, it was obviously a joke, you know, because it's like it's not even close to the same type of car. It's like the, you know, they're driving small red car, and then they cut and it's like some 1970s, you know, brown Nova or something like that that, you know, hits a bus and explodes and stuff.
I think the clip where it's the obvious change between the two cars is Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, yeah.
When the nude guy is just running down
Was it? No, that wasn't Romeo and Juliet. That was Terra Firma.
Terra Firma, you're right. That's what
Yes, because Terra Firma, I still think, is probably Troma's best film. That was fantastic.
Amazing. I was so surprised. Pleasantly so.
And Lloyd Kaufman playing the blind movie director, hysterical. That was hysterical.
Speaking of bad movies, just to jump topic real quick. So I collect movies that are based on video games and comics. Hey, there's a surprise. And I review them on various websites. They sent me Blood Rain Third Reich, which is directed by your pal and mine, Uwe Boll.
Ooh.
I haven't seen it yet. However, at the same time they were making this movie... Now, Blood Rain, let me jump in real quick. Blood Rain, if you don't know, is about a vampire chick, and she's a daywalker, so she can walk around during the daytime. That's a clever name. And she goes after various evil things after she's become a vampire, and she has these giant blades on her arms, and it's all kick-ass and cool and awesome and sleek and sexy and wonderful. Well, Uwe Boll had a brilliant idea to make a parody of his own movie while filming that movie. He got a larger woman to do the Blood Rain part, and they filmed it and are releasing it as Blubberella. And it has the same cast, except for the lead.
Oh, that's funny.
The Dampier. So it's the trailer's on YouTube. My buddy Bob showed it to me before I got the DVD, and I was like, this needs to be a special feature on the disc. I hope it is, like, hidden or something. But evidently, no, he's releasing it as a full movie.
Oh, I need to see that.
In the trailer, Uwe Boll plays Hitler.
See, when he tries to be funny, I've seen clips. I've seen several clips from Postal, and they're hysterical.
Evidently, the full movie itself is the most offensive thing ever.
Oh, I can imagine. They couldn't even get it distributed. But when he tries to do serious horror movie, it's atrocious. But the clips I've seen of Postal were damn funny. So this Blubberella, actually, you know, I want to see this.
basically she beats up Nazis and eats a lot of sandwiches.
Nice.
In the trailer, just like giant hoagies. It's weird. He was going to recut House of the Dead as a comedy, and he was supposed to release it on DVD, and it never came out. And I'm disappointed because I would really like to see that.
I don't know. I think you'd need to reshoot it. I don't know that there's much.
No, it's already a comedy. It just needs to be cut, so.
Well, I guess if you just add a laugh track. Yeah.
Yes, that could work.
Did you ever see the Friday the 13th with a laugh track?
No.
Go on YouTube. Search for it. It's Friday the 13th. Either I think it's part two with a laugh track. It's hysterical because all of a sudden it's a bad 80s sitcom, you know.
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
Well, off topic. Yay.
Yay. All right. So let's get back to your song and possibly play it at this point. Are there other things you would like to plug, such as your website?
Yes. InsaneIan.com, where you can pre-order things of mine. And listen to stuff and watch videos and just generally have a good time.
All right. So here it is right now. Give us the full title one more time.
Hardcore Green Lantern's Light featuring the Stacy.
The Stacy. I understand she will be in more songs because why wouldn't she be?
Because she's a wonderful singer and the light of my life. And she bitched at me because she wasn't in any songs since the last album. And I went, okay, here's this.
Word. All right, here it is, featuring the Stacy, Insane Ian, Hardcore Green Lantern's Light.
Hal Jordan was a simple test pilot. No matter what it was, he knew how to fly it. When one strange night he saw a light in the sky and met an alien who was about to die. He was a protector of Sector 2814, and he needed Hal to take his place in the Corps. Green Lanterns protect every species and race. There's something kinda like the police, but in space. They use the power ring to enforce pure justice, like when you terrorize by a sentient fungus. Human recruit, and with the power of his mind, he puts on his super suit. The ring can construct anything from your mind. It's like having some jewelry that can make CGI. It can make a giant fist a bitch slap the bad guys, or a giant sledgehammer smash them down to size. In fact, nothing is small. I can't think of one thing. It's like he might be trying to compensate for something. So Hal flies around, but he's a bit of a tool. But the ladies who drool could fill up a Deadpool. Carol Ferris seems to think Hal is such a smooth talker, but her leaked cell phone pics could make him a night stalker. not the only members of the core. There's at least 3,200 others, maybe more. Like Kilowog, whose brute strength is so fierce, and Sinestro doesn't view Hal as his peer. But he teaches him how to suppress his fear. Oh, but how can Sinestro be the name of a hero? Every emotion is tied to color on the rainbow. While willpower is green, well, fear is yellow. So despite all his strength and all of his powers, he's a hero that's killed by golden showers.
Nothing's changed. The core planets still hold, but we've always known the Outer Rim to be an issue.
I am James Banks III. I am the reason you are here.
I am Cameron Allen. I'm the medic for Redemption.
My name is Brett Gray. I'm the ship engineer for Redemption, Scarab-class vessel.
I am Laura Matthews. I captain the ship Redemption.
I'm Jack Addington. I'm the mechanic of Redemption.
I'm Petra Jo Chen. You got a ship? Doesn't matter what it is. I can fly it.
I'm Lux Luger. I am the ship's security. And you know I love a good shindig.
Me and my crew, we've kept our noses clean. Until now.
I am a brown coat.
I am a brown coat.
I am a brown coat.
I'm a brown coat.
I am a brown coat.
I am a brown coat.
I am a brown coat.
You are all going to pay.
Brown Coat's Redemption. A fan Firefly movie. Go to browncoatsmovie.com for more information. Time for funny music news. Something, something, something. And now for all the news that's news to people who like news, here's Devo Spice with the news.
The Fump is on Rock Band. Yes, the first song from The Fump is now playable on the Rock Band Network. Dead Again by Possible Oscar can be downloaded. I forget how much it costs. But if you have Rock Band, you can go online and download Dead Again by Possible Oscar. We also have a couple other songs in the pipeline that should be hitting soon, like within the next month or two, including Mallet of Metal by the Consortium of Genius, Halloween by Steve Goody, and Write You a Song by Nuclear Bubble Wrap. And coming a little bit later, because they just started working on it, is The Dumbest Song on Rock Band by me, Devo Spice, which will be retitled just The Dumbest Song when it hits the Rock Band Network, because they don't want the words Rock Band in the title of the song. So keep an eye out for that. We'll be posting news items as all these songs go live. In fact, did we ever post a... I know it's in the newsletter. I think we actually forgot to post a news item on the site about it, though.
Yes.
Madman says it's $2 to get Dead Again by Possible Oscar for Rock Band. So, thank you, Madman.
So, for $2, you can be as sexy as Jared Ringgold.
You can indeed.
And it's well worth the money.
I have to get myself a copy of Rock Band first before I can actually play the song. In other news, Weird Al Yankovic's new album, Alpocalypse, is now available. I ordered mine on Amazon. It has shipped. It has not arrived yet. I'm one of those losers who wants it on CD.
I'm one of those old fogies who drove to a store and bought it the day it came out on CD and DVD.
See, I would have done that, but there's no music stores around me. I mean, I assume Walmart is carrying it, but I kind of don't want to give them my money. Not for this, anyway.
I went to Best Buy, so...
Yeah, the nearest Best Buy is about an hour from here.
Oh, okay. Wow, really?
I think so.
They're like every 20 feet out here. Oh, no, wait, that's Subway. Subway is every 20 feet.
Ah.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on, Luke Ski's Serenity, which was posted about a month ago to the Fump, has been augmented with autotune by the wonderful Jace McClain.
Yay!
And the new version has been uploaded to the Fump, and the new version will be on the Fump Volume 27 CD.
So track one on the new Volume 27 won't be a song that will make people turn it off because of my singing. So I have a sample here so people can hear a little bit of it.
Go for it.
Here we go.
No remorse and no name, a horse opera that's played across the stars. Should have paid off the twins and then rolled out till River doled out bruises and scars. When she goes cuckoo for Fruity Odie bars.
So there you go.
Yes, that does sound much better.
Yeah, I don't have any actual auto-tuning software or knowledge to use it, but Sarah is going to be upgrading my computer with a 1.5 gig internal drive, and I'm going to try to upgrade some systems and try to get some advice from Jace and others on how to find auto-tune type programs that I can use to help when my tracks need it, and Serenity and unfortunately needed it. So yeah, anyway.
In other Luke Ski news, Luke Ski was interviewed on WBEZ. So tell us about that.
That was interesting, because they contacted me like 24 hours before the show. 848 is a show on WBEZ.org, which is 91.5 FM here in Chicago. They are the station that does the podcast, This American Life. I think they also do Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and some other programs. And I guess the folks who were promoting the Words That Kill, Return of the Geek thing, poetry thing, had been like trying to get the word out about their show and just sent off a lot of information to a lot of different, you know, media sources. And that's how they heard of me. And they, you know, contacted me saying, hey, would you like to be on tomorrow morning's show? So I said, sure. I sent them a bunch of clips of songs of mine and did kind of a 1 hour pre-interview on the phone with one of their producers. So, the next morning I got up early and took the train to downtown to Navy Pier and, was on the show. It was about a 12-minute segment at the very end of it. The first half of the show, they were talking to the man who's like the head of the whole city of Chicago, you know, educational, like school district. Like, you know, the head of all schools in Chicago was the first guest. And then they had a couple pre-recorded segments, and then they had me. So I was kind of a weird cap to the show. But it was interesting. They also asked to give them a clip of something from my early career that was, like, an example of, like, cheesy, bad, early stuff of mine. So I do you remember the song I did called Mr. Versatility? It was about Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
I gave them that. So, like, I'm doing this interview, and then, like, as I'm talking, the producer slowly brings up in the background that song, and I had to stop talking and laugh because I couldn't concentrate on what I was saying because all I can hear is, you know, myself from whatever that was 15, 20 years ago just sounding horrible with a song where the background music was made on Mario Paint. So... So you can hear that if you go to WBEZ.org, look for the show from last Thursday, the 16th, and they have different individual segments, so you just have to find the one with me in it. Yeah. So, moving on.
Moving on in sad news, last week we lost Wildman Fisher, who was a self-proclaimed outsider musician with severe paranoid schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. So he was very sick. He apparently attacked his mother with a knife when he was 16 and then was institutionalized for a while. He was discovered singing on the street by Frank Zappa, who produced his first album. And he is best known in the dementia community for the song My Name is Larry, which is bizarre.
Yes.
So he will be missed. And finally, tour dates. The only thing we got coming up are for next weekend, which is 4th of July weekend. In Bloomington, Minnesota, we have Possible Oscar and Paul and Storm performing at Convergence. And then that same weekend in Parsippany, New Jersey, we have Tom Smith performing at Cantata.
Hey, if you're the kind of person who likes Tom Smith and you don't own everything he's ever released, why don't you go to TomSmithOnline.com and purchase something like this week, like today? Why not? You have the money. Buy some Tom Smith today. And now back to Devo Spice.
That's all I got. We should wake up Spaff and interview him now.
Spaff.
Wide awake, guys. Been paying very close attention to everything that's been going on.
You've been drinking Mountain Dew, and just like me, you got your ticket in hand waiting to go see the midnight showing of Cars 2, aren't you?
I can't wait.
Seriously, I'm going to see Cars 2 tonight.
Are you really?
Yes. Why? Because I have nothing to do tomorrow.
I'm going to bed tonight.
Me too. I want Luke's life. I have to get up and go to work in the morning. What is this?
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, so.
So, if I could be Weird Al by Money Shot Cosmonauts.
Yes.
So, first of all, let me mention there are currently 27 comments on the song on the site, and I think everyone's afraid to be the person to break that and make it the 28th comment.
Oh, because 27.
Because 27, yes.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
So no. how'd you come up with the idea for this song? Did you like come up with the song you wanted to parody first, or did you come up with the topic first and then find a song to fit the idea?
Well, you guys, I mean, everybody listening knows about Austin and Jace's Weird Al tribute CD, right?
Right, yeah.
And they announced this a long time ago, and so I've always wanted to come up with something. I wanted to come up with something for the CD, and I was going to do a different Bruno Mars song, the one actually it's the one that it turns out Weird Al just parodied it on his latest CD, so I'm glad that I didn't do that one, but I did this one instead. See how great my memory is. I can't name any song titles or anything, but was going to do one Bruno Mars. I did this Bruno Mars instead. This one's actually, the original's by Travie McCoy featuring Bruno Mars. And I just thought it would be a fun combination, melody parts and rap parts, which pretty much defines every popular single these days. And it would allow me to incorporate a lot of people from the Fump and beyond, which is what I really like to do with the Money Shot Cosmonauts songs, is just to make them a big collaboration with all of you guys. And you know, that's the coolest thing about the Fump. That's the thing, you know, we've been doing it for what, 3, 4, 12?
Four and a half years. I know, it seems like forever, doesn't it?
It does. But that's my favorite part of it, is just being able to meet and interact and collaborate with all these other, you know, great, funny, talented people, and that's how Money Shot Cosmonauts came about. Is I just wanted to collaborate with everyone, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to collaborate literally with everyone. And so I sent out an invitation to everybody I had on my mailing list, which is a list I stole from one of Luke's posts, the one about stupidest Charlie Brown special ever. Did you guys talk about that on one of your shows?
That was that was back when when Snoopy the Dog first came out, and I was trying to think of a wacky bit we could do on the air, so I sent a message to like virtually everybody, I think.
Oh yeah. That's right, yeah.
And you didn't BCC everybody, it was just in your two line, and so I was able to steal it. Thank you very much.
I figured we all know each other anyway.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, I'm not complaining. That's how I got my mail list for my If I Could Be Weird Al song, and got a lot of replies from a lot of people, and I just basically said, hey, everybody, it wasn't a very organized procedure. I just said, hey, record whatever the hell you want of the song. Here are the lyrics. I'm not going to tell you how the meter goes. I'm not going to tell you how the melody goes. Go listen to the Travie McCoy song and do your best, and send me whatever you got. And so all of these people did exactly that. And then I had to go through all of these hours and hours of material and pick and choose what worked and what didn't, and how I could include everybody who submitted something and yet have a song that all fit together just right. And I had no idea what a huge mess I was getting myself into. But I just, you know, I loved the response I got from everybody. The end.
Did everyone record the whole song or just me and Luke?
No, you two both recorded the whole song. And actually, most of the people that you see listed in the credits for the song, most of those people recorded the entire song. The sung parts, the rapped parts, everything, and which was great.
Well, okay, I didn't do the singing parts. I know better than that.
Okay, well, most people actually did. Well, there were a couple of the rapped verses that didn't turn out well, believe it or not, by anyone. And it's my own fault for writing something that's impossible to follow, but there were a few verses that just didn't turn out right, even though I had 12 versions to choose from. So in those cases, I went to specific contributors and I said, hey, will you specifically do this verse? And here's how it goes. Here's how the meter is supposed to go on this verse. And that's what happened with a couple of them. And then Robert Lund surprised me by doing, he didn't do the rap parts, but he did all of the sung parts. And not only did he sing all of those verses, but he added harmonies and he mixed them and they were just done. They were ready to go. And so I said, well, that answers that. Who's going to do the sung parts? He's got them done. So I started with that and Bob Emmett, Project Sisyphus, who's awesome, he did the music for this, and I told him which verses from which contributors to put where, and he assembled it all for me, for us.
Sweet. And you realize he is just reeling from the 500th Fump song where there were 39 people on it, or 38 people, that he had to assemble all these people together, and now you asking him to do the same thing again.
I know. That poor guy. I felt really bad for piling this all on him until I saw what We Are the Fump was turning into. And I'm like, okay, well my little project is nothing compared to that monster. So.
We should do like one of these like every 2 weeks just to keep him, you know, in practice.
And then in 3 weeks when he stops replying to anybody's emails,
right?
We'll know how he felt about that. So yeah, I was just thrilled with the input I got from everybody. And, the Stay Demented line I had in there from the outset, thinking, you know, maybe I can get Dr. Demento to actually pitch in that line himself, not thinking that he actually would. So in the original version that I had put together, it was Steve Goody doing that line. Mm-hmm. Well, when I got the whole thing completed, I sent it to Dr. Demento, and I said, hey, here's this song. Your signature line is currently being performed in this by Steve Goody, and I love Steve Goody, but, you know, you're Dr. Demento, and it's your line. Would you consider recording that line for this song? And surprisingly, he got right back to me and said, yeah, and he sent me like a dozen different takes of Stay Demented. So I got to go through those and chose the one that worked best. And Bob worked it in there for me. And when I first mixed this, I just found a clip of Weird Al online saying something like, it was from some interview where he said he'd like to thank everyone who's ever supported him, but that would be just way too much work, use up all of his spare time. You guys have probably heard that quote.
Yeah, I've seen that clip.
And so I took that, a piece of that quote where he says, oh, but that would just require too much effort. And I tagged that onto this song as the closing line. So, you know, I'd like to be Weird Al. And then he says, but it would just, you know, take up too much of my spare time. And that was the way the song was going to stand. But then I thought, you know, why don't I push my luck? Why don't I see if we can actually get Weird Al to record something, some sort of ad lib, some sort of blurb for this song. I never thought initially that would even be a possibility. I didn't write this song with that in mind, but I thought, let's try it. And so I went to Dr. Demento and I said, hey, you know this guy. I could find contact information for him on his website, but maybe you know some special secret email for him that the rest of us don't know. And he said, well, let me see what I can do. And he sent my request to Weird Al, and Weird Al replied fairly quickly saying no. Actually, it wasn't quite that bad. He just said, hey, look, I'm out on tour right now. I don't have the ability to record anything, but I like the way the song is right now. You've got my permission to use it. Go for it. Thanks for the honor. And I said, okay, well, that's just his polite way of saying thanks, but no thanks. And so I was just going to let it go. But then, you know, it just kept eating at me. I said to myself, is he really... having, you know, is there an issue with him really being able to record something, or is he just politely getting out of this? And I thought, well, if it really is a technology thing, if he really doesn't have a way to record, then let's just try this. I went back to Dr. Demento and I said, hey, ask him this. If that's really the issue, would he be willing to call my work answering machine, my voicemail, and just leave something on my voicemail and then I can use it? And I didn't think he would ever do it, but Dr. Demento relayed that request to Al, and Al replied saying, okay. So it was fairly surreal. The next day at work, oh, and I had to say, look, I promise when the call comes in, I won't answer the phone. So you don't have to talk to this psycho fan out there who's been trying to get you to participate. I won't make you talk to me. I'll just let it go straight to voicemail. So I'm sitting at work, sitting at my desk, and my phone rings, and I look over, and caller ID says, Yankovic Al. I'm like, are you kidding me? Here I am sitting at my desk at my day job, and I'm getting a call from Yankovic Al. And it was, you know, I really wanted to reach over and pick up the phone, but I had promised that I wouldn't do that. So I let it go to voicemail, and he left his message, and it was perfect. One take, and kind of made my year. So starting out, I didn't think I was going to get either Dr. Demento or Weird Al actually on the song, and they both ended up on it. So I'm thrilled.
So, Devo, I want to tell him the story about the Cirque du Soleil thing.
Okay.
So... one of the, have you heard the Cirque du Soleil sketch comedy album?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
And well, there's, shoot, but
it's okay. There's a sketch on there called Meanwhile, which is a bunch of very quick, you know, meanwhile over at this place, and then something stupid happens in the meanwhile over here, and it's very frenetic. So
it's very Shoebox.
Yeah, Shoebox wrote it. So we had this ending where we wanted to have Dr. Demento appear in it, so we emailed him the script, and you know, he basically told us no, and we never asked him why, but we just basically have to assume that the sketch was so weird, you know, and strange and nonsensical that he just preferred to not be involved with it. So the fact that you got him is like, oh man, Spaff got Dr. D on a track, man.
Oh, can I tell him the other sketch?
What was the other one?
We had as like a follow, it was going to be a hidden bonus track.
Oh,
on
yeah,
the album.
Yeah, yeah.
We were doing this other sketch where we were thanking Dr. Demento for taking time out of his busy schedule for, you know, appearing on our CD. And at the end, Dr. D would say, before I leave, can I use your bathroom? And then we get all, you mean? And then we all sing, it's time for number one.
And we spent a long damn time recording that, and it sounded great.
Yeah.
Four-part harmony. It was awesome. And we didn't get to use it.
Ah. Oh. Oh, well, next time do what I did. Just get Steve Goody to play Dr. Demento.
Okay.
And then take that to Dr. Demento and say, hey, either you give us a soundbite or we're just going to have Steve Goody pretend. We've got you over a barrel, man.
Mm-hmm. So well, there's some Cirque du Soleil trivia for the audience.
So, but yeah, Weird Al is like the nicest celebrity ever. He's a really friendly, genuine guy. So, you know, I've been too afraid to ever ask him to do anything for me like that. But I wasn't going to,
I'm like, you know, why would he care to, you know, participate in something like this? It would be so easy for him to say no. Why even bother asking? But hell, I'm glad I did.
I want to know like what it would cost to get him like legitimately on one of my songs, like singing background or playing accordion or something like that. You know, like, I mean, obviously I'd have to go through his manager and stuff, but maybe that's something I'll look into later in the year.
Well,
if I got a few thousand dollars laying around, I'm sure.
Yeah. Because, you know, MC Lars got him to play accordion on one of his tracks, and Mike Furman right. got him to actually sing on one of his. So
yeah.
Cool. Who did?
Mike Furman of Hard and Firm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, and then, yeah. So, anyway.
The floodgates are open, then.
Yes.
So, shall we play the song, then?
Play it.
Let's do it.
All right, here it is. Money Shot Cosmonauts featuring everybody with If I Could Be Weird Al on the Funny Music Podcast. Here we go.
I want to be Al Yankovic so freaking bad, with wide and nerdy fans I've never had. Like Oprah, I would start my own Al magazine, with Bundy, Sharpton, Kaida, Gore, and Green. Oh, every time I hear a song, my brain regurgitates it wrong. Yeah, so all the words I sing along are abnormal. I'd be every fangirl's pal if I could be Weird Al.
Yeah, I'd be crushing Alapalooza in my Belvedere Cruiser, rocking poker medleys of John Philip Sousa.
I'd be an Amish celebrity losing on Jeopardy with shirts like Nick Nolte and hair that's Def Leppardy.
I'd pimp the grapefruit diet, go on eBay to buy it. I know Jerry Springer, but in France I'm a riot.
I love Rocky Rota, getting kinky with Yoda. Got a boogie like the biggest ball of Spam in Minnesota.
I make my roaches wear slippers, fall in love with the skipper, or an anorexic codependent bingo addict stripper.
I hear I want a new duck that will teach him to swim. I guess it really must suck to be a rock star like him.
I never think a song is done.
Toast is done, toast is done.
Until you add accordion.
Cause I perform this way, baby.
I pray for one more naked gun.
You know, Jay.
Till
yeah.
then
yeah.
I
yeah.
shall sing about my root canal.
The smirkiest, my turkey next to turkeyest. A bold to Albuquerque songs, I'll write to Albuquerqueist.
I'll kick some pantry ass in this doggy dog business with my billionaire bikini supermodel astrophysicist.
I'm pretty fly for a reverend in bologna-file heaven, making albums in 3D.
Which yield is 27.
I'm buying me a Cuisinart on Craigslist, they're on sale tonight. I'll be the king of waffles, king of suede, and king of cellulite.
I would tell your iguana it smells like Madonna, but right now Nirvana and I just don't wanna.
Money won't buy happiness, I'll just go and rent it. So listen up, you weasel stomper.
Stay demented.
I wanna be Al Yankovic, so fetching bad.
Even worse.
I promise I'll be mellow when I'm dead.
Like a car battery.
I wanna do the Today Show on All Al TV.
On UHF.
With Roker and Capone and Ali G.
Hey, Jody, hey, hold up. What up?
They say I'm close, but no cigars.
You're pitiful.
From a planet near Bruno Mars,
Mercury?
I'd
yeah.
puke
yeah.
Chris
yeah.
Dow, and I'd be Herbie the Wonder Hamster's pal if I could be Weird Al.
Stuck in the drive-thru. Whoopin' a white dude.
I wanna be Al Yankovic.
Me too.
So stinking bad.
I wish I could be Weird Al, too. Wait, I am Weird Al! Cool!
Making the internet absolutely ridiculous. DementiaRadio.org.
This is the part where there's feedback.
Feedback.
Feedback, you know that segment of the show we do about now?
Feedback. Feedback.
Feedback. All right, we got a lot of feedback. Let's hustle through this.
We do. We got an email from Blasted Bill who says, I think it would be faster for us to report who in our group was not the Weird Al kid in high school. Who else got tired of the other kids saying, Weird Al is so stupid, anyone can write parody songs? Yeah, that's probably true. All right, comment from Draconis. He says, Hey, all. First, we need more Robo Devo popping up into the news. Wonder how many of the cosmonauts will be on tonight. Ian, who is more unhinged, you, Mike, or Kyle? Money Shot, will you have an album of the blooper reels from your recordings of the songs called T-3-2-1 Whoops? Yeah, how about that? An alternate mix or a blooper version?
Holy crap, I've got so many hours of material that people sent in to me.
You could put out a whole album of remixes.
Of just that, yeah. I'm not touching it. I'll send it to somebody else to compile.
Okay. Carrying on, he says, Luke, you need an album name? If you had a Red Dwarf song, then Caught in the Smeg would do. And yes, Luke, I know Smeg's not the proper term, but even the cast can't explain what the Smeg is. But Caught in the Smeg in Past sounds too cliche. Remember, fans, vote in the Parsecs for the Fump cast, or Luke will tie you to a chair and force you to listen to episode 33. Current to do the best of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport Volume 2, the 2011 year in review. So smurf off, you Smeggin Smurfers. Thank you, Draconis. We got a comment from, I think this was pronounced Kaudrim, K-A-U-D-R-I-M. And he says, I would like to say I love the podcast. In reference to the Alpocalypse DVD, there are actually two songs not on the DVD, Perform This Way and Polka Face. And then due to a glitch on the site, that repeated, to which Mr. Wompy said, there's a rumor going around that Perform This Way and Polka Face are not on the DVD, just in case you haven't heard, big smiley face. And we got an email from Lee Seitz, who says, Fumpers, first, stats no one cares about. Sarah Trice is still on top after Devo and Luke. Steve Goody was next by himself, but this week's pre-recorded appearance by Insane Ian pushes him up in a tie with Steve. Then it's a three-way tie between TV's Kyle, Chris Mezzalesta, and Jace McClain. The Fump needs a wiki for this sort of thing so we can stop wasting listeners' time with it. Anyone else feel the same about the wiki, not the time wasting? I don't need confirmation about how I'm wasting my life. If someone does and has a server with space for Media Wiki and the bandwidth, I'm willing to administer/write the wiki. Can't ask Ian anything since he's not here, but I hoped he mentioned how he thought the Green Lantern movie was. Nice work by him and the Stacy. So on to If I Could Be Weird Al. First, it's great. So sorry it didn't make it on the 26.5 tribute album. I was going to post that to the site, but the song had 27 comments and I didn't want to be the one to screw that up. Speaking of which, Devo, is it just me or have you not been reading many of the song comments on the site? Oh, and thanks, Spaff, for the annotated lyrics. I asked him about that. What he's talking about was at some point in the past I said I wanted to incorporate comments from the song into our discussion with the artist. And basically what I've been doing is anytime someone comments on something that I think would be a good topic for discussion, I bring it up. A lot of our comments are just, hey, this is an awesome song, and I don't feel the need to repeat all of those during the interview. Finishing up, he says, so questions for Spaff or whoever can answer them. Is this the first time Robert Lung has sung on what was billed as a Money Shot Cosmonaut song? See, we need that wiki. Is that the case?
I think so. Definitely the first time he's done lead vocals on one, because it Money Shot Cosmonauts was originally for stuff that Robert was unavailable, so I got other members of the Fump to participate on. So right. Yeah, it's like the universe is imploding now that Robert Lund is doing lead on my non-Robert Lund material. Interesting question. Yeah, I don't think he's even done a guest on any of the others.
And he continues, how does the time frame this was being worked on compare with We Are the Fump? I'm just curious how busy everyone was at once. Stay funny, Eclectic Lee Seitz, formerly known as Lunatic Lee. I know we did We Are the Fump first.
I beg to differ. So I started this.
Okay, I did We Are the Fump first. I did my parts first.
Oh, as far as who recorded what when?
I don't know. Yeah, you've been working on this song for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, yes, months. That's why I originally had it in mind for the 26.5 CD and it just took me too many months to put it together. Plus real life and my day job got in the way. But I started working on this and soliciting contributions for this before We Are the Fump got started. So there you go.
Okay. Cool. All right, well, that's it for feedback.
Cool. Cool. So do we have anything to tease this week?
I'm checking right now. Tomorrow's song is supposedly posted, but there was an issue, and I'm just checking to see if that issue has been resolved. I got to log back into the site.
While you're doing that, Spaff, do you have anything you'd like to plug at this time?
Yeah, I know you guys had Steve Goody on last week, and I'm sure that you played the song I collaborated with him on about Anthony Weiner. Did he happen to mention the song that we also did together about the Casey Anthony trial?
Yes, he did.
Yes. Yeah, we talked about that.
Well, okay. That was going to be our Fump song, the Casey Anthony song we did, but then we decided we had to do something about Weiner, of course, and so that kind of trumped our Casey Anthony song. But those who haven't heard the Casey Anthony song, go to spaff.com, and there's a link to it there.
I heard it on the Dr. Demento show.
Ah, yes, and Dr. Demento did play it last week. That's true.
Yes, yes. All right.
And yes, tomorrow's song appears to be posted. It is by Jesse Smith.
Woohoo!
And I haven't listened to it yet, but it looks promising. So, and that's it. Tuesday song is not posted. So,
all right. And so, once again, insaneian.com is his website. Anything else we need to mention, or should we get out of here?
Let's get out of here.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being here, Spaff.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
This is the great Luke Ski.
This is Devo Spice.
And I got to go see Cars 2.
Have fun.
Thank you for listening to the Funny Music Podcast. You can listen live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, at DementiaRadio.org, and join us in the chat, or subscribe to the podcast feed. Look us up on iTunes, and be sure to leave us a review. Feedback for the show can be sent to info@thefump.com. The Funny Music Podcast is a production of Fidem Interactive, LLC, released under a Creative Commons share-alike license. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Shout it to random people on the street. And be sure to visit thefump.com for the latest funny songs. Tune in next week where you'll hear Luke Ski say...
There's a Toy Story, like, short film before Cars 2, so that's another reason to go see it. And the Muppets trailer.